What's going on, people? We are back.
What is good? What is good? What is good out there in the land?
We're Between the Lines, episode 11. Daniel.
Q.
Yep, we're here once again. We took a little break last week for 4th of July. And we're back. So what's been going on, Mr. Q? Tell the people something.
It's hot.
Yeah.
This sun, this heat is heating. Yeah. I would tell you that. Like, I remember in the summertime when I was growing up where you can actually go out and play, like, at nighttime. But even when it gets 8 or 9 o'clock at night, it's still, like, 85, 90 degrees, and the heat feels different.
Yeah. Welcome to the South. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's different, but I'm thankful that I can feel it, because I know when it gets cold, we'll be like, oh, man, I wish it warm up, and now it's nice and warm. Now we're like, oh, man, I wish it would just cool down. So we can't never be happy. So I'm just going to just deal with it.
Yeah, it's definitely hot. I was out all day, and that heat will get you. But I'll never forget, and, you know, the audience obviously doesn't know this, but Kira and I took a trip to to Scottsdale, Arizona last year. I think it was around September. You know, because I told Q, I was like, hey, you know, Scottsdale is like the Miami of the desert. At least that's what I was told. So we went over there, you know, to try to have a good time and everything. And then the heat, bro, like, it would be like midnight and it's still 100 degrees.
Yeah. I remember when we first got there and went to that rooftop. And I'm thinking, okay, it's like, what, 9 something we got there? 9:30, we're getting our food. We had reservations to sit down. We was chilling.
Yeah.
Outside. Now, you know it's hot when you go to a rooftop and they got mist. They got a little mist fan blowing mist out at nighttime. Now, you know it's going to be hot. When I was checking the weather before we went, every day I checked, it was like, it was never under 95. It was always 103, 108, 109. And I said, Lord, help me. I think I'm going into hell. I really do. And
I remember seeing like a street sign that was like melting. I was
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, it was a great experience just to experience it. So now I know. So I know next time if we do go back, it's going to have to be
November, December.
October, November, December, January. Yeah. Or maybe February. That's it.
But I will say, though, you know, even though we kind of just stayed in Scottsdale, the rest of Arizona is great. It's got some great places to see, Sedona and other places. So anyways, if you guys ever get a chance to go out west to Arizona, it's definitely worth it.
Right.
But yeah, man. So a lot's been going on in the last couple of weeks. Some of the things that was going on, we kind of missed, didn't really get to react to. And one of the things that was just in everybody's mind at the time, and I think it was actually 2 weeks ago, and we were actually recording while it was happening. So, and then of course last week we didn't really get to comment on it. So everyone was talking about the presidential debate between Donald J. Trump and President Biden, right? Joe Biden. So, you know, I don't know if you got a chance to watch the debate afterwards or seen clips or whatever. Obviously people got their different opinions, but you know, what was your take from it in terms of, you know, what you saw or what happened?
Honestly, I did not watch it.
You haven't watched it yet or nothing?
Yeah, all I saw was clips on social media, and I saw where Donald Trump talking about black jobs. Mm-hmm. So that struck the nerve with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Particular color, like, and okay, they want to know about what is a black job, like what is called, what's labeled as a black job. So that when he said that, I said, oh, here we go. And it wasn't, whenever he said that, when I went on social media, that's all I saw, hashtag black jobs, what is a black job. So, which, you know, at this point with Donald Trump, nothing surprises me what he say, because he got some, he likes to tweet a lot, And I remember reading his tweets and stuff on Twitter and how he would just, he'll go in on Kim K. He'll talk about Kanye. Now, this is the president.
Oh, he's a troll.
Yeah,
he's a professional troll.
He goes in and like this dude, he must watch reality shows or something because he stays up on everything. So, but yeah, again, get to your question. I didn't watch it. I just saw stuff online and comments because I live for the comments. Like, it doesn't matter what you see on social media. I take the next flight to the comments because the comments gonna be funny to me. Yeah. And that if the comments let me know whether I should go back and watch it or not. Now, if the comments are juicy, mm-hmm. trendy, then I'm going to go back and watch it. But if it's not, I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot that happened that night. And obviously, people were talking about Joe Biden and, you know, how senile he looked and and performed, you know, horribly or whatnot. But, you know, to the comment that you said that he, you know, Trump made that comment about black jobs, like, did you, you know, as a black man, did you find it offensive?
Honestly, I find it very comical to me. Okay. I don't get into that. Like, that stuff doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bother me, but I was just, like, really concerned, wanting to know, like, I was just curious, like, what is called a black job? Like, what is that, you know?
Well, I think, you know, when he made that comment, he was referring to migrants coming into the U.S. illegally and going into a lot of the big cities that are being overrun by a lot of the migrants that are coming in, like Chicago, New York City. And there's a lot of black people in these communities. And what he was saying is that you've got a lot of these illegal migrants coming in, taking black jobs. Now, people got triggered whenever he said that, but I mean, I don't know if you watched the interview with, you know, Dr. Umar recently, Dr. Umar Johnson. Mm-hmm. He was on the Breakfast Club. I think it was yesterday, the day before.
Yeah,
and he was talking about the same thing, which I agree is that, you know, Donald Trump wasn't telling no lie in the sense that there are people, you know, these black jobs that he's talking about is just regular jobs,
right?
Basically, you know, you have, and basically he was talking about the lower end jobs that these migrant, you know, workers are kind of taking over, like warehouse jobs, you know, drivers, you know, working in the service industry, hospitality, landscaping, stuff like that. Stuff, jobs that black and brown people already have here. And in a lot of times, when migrants come in, they'll do it for less. And you have unscrupulous companies that will pay them less. And then you got people here that in the black community that, you know, that are being affected. And I think that's what he was talking about. But of course, like anything that anybody will say, they'll take it out of context, or for me, you know, completely get triggered about it. Now,
did it offend you?
It didn't offend me at all, because I knew what he was trying to say. And I think people just kind of become disingenuous and try to, you know, not everything has to be the race car. Not everything has to be like, you know, oh, you know, so black and white like that. And right. I think people kind of took it like that.
Right.
So it is what it is. But obviously now that it's over and people see how bad apparently Joe Biden did, and, you know, there's a lot of people saying, well, maybe he should step down. There's like George Clooney, like, I don't know if you saw in the news, George Clooney talking about that he should step down. And I don't know, man. What do you think? You think he should step down for the sake of the country, or do you think they should continue to ride with him?
I, f- think he needs some help. I think Joe Biden needs some help. He seemed like he's not operating in 5G. Seems like he may be roaming a little bit, lost signal. Like, I've seen a couple of clips of him at different, like, doing press, I guess, or doing different shows across the world, and his response is always delayed. Like, it's like something would happen, and it takes him maybe an extra couple of seconds before he actually responds. Like, it actually just, it clicks in his mind. He always have this dumb look in his face, like, oh, that was nice. And then the event happened 10 seconds ago. Like, it just catches him at the last minute. And I don't know if it's because he just trying to watch what he speak or watch what he say or what he do. But if it is, if that's the case, then I get it. Because I know he lives in a glass house. He got to watch everything he say. But it is every, I haven't seen too many clips of him being like spot on, like dead on, like just sharp and just good response. Quick. Now, Donald Trump.
You may not like what he says, but he'll snap on
them guns are always blazing, and he's ready to fire anytime.
Yeah,
but I feel like sometimes Joe Biden brings a water gun to the fight. He just like, psh, 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 you know. But that's just me, you know. But
well, my thing is that I feel that unfortunately for the Democratic Party, I think Joe Biden is their best bet. And despite some people wanting him to step down, which I don't seem to think that he will.
No, he probably not.
I think deep down they know that Kamala Harris is not going to be much better for them. So they're better just riding with Biden, you know, as they were saying.
Yeah, because I saw a clip where they was roasting her too. And dragging her through the mud as if she was Tina Turner. And the person, I can't think it, like, I don't know a lot all about politics. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't.
Yeah.
But there was a clip I saw when she had some kind of a press, whatever, going on. And there's some lady, can't think her name, Lola.
I don't know.
Whatever she is. She might be, like, Spanish or something like that.
Okay.
And she was going in on her. And poor Kamala Harris she just stood there and just smiled.
Like they were talking to each other?
Yeah, it was like a press. It was a press show. Like a
press conference or something.
Oh, and it was recent. And she asked her what's her response for, and she just smiled. And said she did her job. That was her response.
Yeah.
And it was so weak. Like you didn't have anything to come back. What I guess what the lady was saying was facts. It was factual.
Mm-hmm.
And how about how she had people locked up? It was innocent, you know. Mm-hmm. And lives was taking everything because of the situation they was in. And all the thing Harris said was, I did my job. But she delayed a response because she knew what the lady was saying must have been true, and it triggered her. Mm-hmm. But she had to watch how she responded.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I think ultimately we'll see what happens. Because thing is that it's still very early.
Right.
And even this debate was the earliest there's ever been. We've never seen a debate this early.
Right.
They usually start around September. So a lot can happen between now and then. And I almost bet there's going to be a lot more stuff that's going to come out of the woodwork, you know, on both sides.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting. But yeah, I think obviously the next debate, which I think it'll be sometime in September, I believe it'll be once again Biden and Trump on it. We'll see if Biden stays and Kamala takes his place or not. But needless to say, it was definitely a show.
I read this clip on social media when the guy said, "I think we should just take some time off and to be single, and don't put nobody else in the house and just learn to love ourselves and be single for a while for the next 4 years."
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But kind of staying in the politics vein a little bit. I saw the story, and I wanted to kind of get your take on it, because let me just read to the people. It was a story coming out of Oklahoma about a bill that just passed mandating that the Bible be in the schools curriculum. And let me just read this to you. In a controversial move, Oklahoma State Superintendent Ryan Walters has mandated the inclusion of the Bible in public school curriculums from grades 5 through 12, emphasizing that it uses a historical text in social studies and in English classes. He also argues that the initiative is vital for understanding the core values of historical context of the United States. However, this has sparked significant backlash and debates over the separation of church and state, with critics arguing whether it's unconstitutional or not, and whether it's religious indoctrination in public school. So when you saw that, and I'm sure you may have read the story or seen stuff about it, what were your thoughts on that?
I think they should bring Christianity back in school. I think they need to. I need at least prayer or something. Like, I mean, okay. Because I remember when I was coming up and they used to pray. I do. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped it. So I guess I'm telling my age now, but I do. I think it's a great thing to have prayer, you know.
But let me ask you this. Well, if I'm Jewish, or if I'm Buddhist, or Muslim for that matter, you know, what would you say to me as a student or as a parent that now I have to sort of see or send my son or daughter to a school that only teaches the Bible? I mean, how would you feel about that?
Well, the Bible is one thing, but if we're just going to pray, you can pray to whoever you believe in. You know, it's nothing wrong with having a generic prayer, you know, and you believe in whoever you believe in. Like, we both can pray, but if you are a Buddhist, that's just who you pray to. But if I believe in Jesus Christ, then that's who I'm praying to.
Right. So,
but as far as the Bible.
Yeah. Because it's saying that the class, the schools in the classroom have to teach the Bible. And people are saying, well, not everyone's a Christian, and these are public schools. You know, why is that okay?
I think the way that would be, it would be better if it would be a class you can sign up for. Like, if it was a class that teaches religion, then if the parents want their child to be interested in that class, they could sign them up for that class. Now, if they don't sign up for their class, they don't have to take their class.
Well, you know, as a Christian as well, I actually don't agree with this law, because for the same thing that I just mentioned, not everyone's a Christian, and this is a public school. Now, I mean, if you want to go to a Christian school, you can go to a Christian school or a Catholic school or whatever. But in terms of like public school, you know, okay, in the grand scheme of things, being Christians, would that be my preference? Yes. If this was a situation where everyone was a Christian, and yes, we should have the Bible taught in the school as well. But unfortunately, you know, we live in the United States, and that's not the case. So having just Christianity in the school, I don't agree with, even though I'm as a Christian, I fully back those principles. But just like I wouldn't want to be going or let my child go to a school that, oh, he's got to learn about Islam. Like, what? No, that's not what I grew up with. So I don't want him to know that stuff or be taught that. I think it's the same way a lot of people are looking at this particular law. Now, to your point, I mean, I think they already teach like like religion courses in schools. But if parents want to send them to like a Christian school or a private school, then that's different. So I think that's a part that even though that's the issue that sometimes when things go far off, like into the, you know, they go, things go too left, and then the right tries to bring it way too right, and that's what where we get into trouble. But to your point about prayer, right now they don't allow prayer in school. Now, I'm not saying that they should mandate or say that you have to pray in school, but it should be an option. That you should have the option to pray if you wanted to. And, you know, instead of necessarily making the Bible mandated in the schools, because you have people of other faiths that go to public school, if anything, what they should mandate, I think, would be saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Because that is something that we all can be sort of one. We're all Americans. We're all here, you know, indivisible, under God, you know. So so I think that that will be something that I feel should be mandated for kids to do. To bring that back, the Pledge of Allegiance, because a lot of people don't even feel patriotic anymore. And that is the one thing that, despite our different views on different political things or cultural issues or even religion for that matter, we can all kind of come all as one, knowing that we're all Americans. That's just what I think.
Okay. You know? I think the Pledge of Allegiance would be nice. I do remember saying the Pledge of Allegiance. That was great.
I wonder whatever happened to that.
That's what I was saying. The funny thing about it, I didn't even think about that until he just brought that up. Because I haven't heard that in a long time. But I do remember saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and I do remember having a moment of silence. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. I think they should bring that back as well. And I still think they should have prayer back in school. And you know, if it ain't nothing, you just pray to whoever you believe in, who your truth and your faith is in. That's who you pray to. Like, we need that. I think that will help a lot from that start, you know.
Yeah. And you know, and I get the sentiment. I get what they're trying to do by bringing the Bible in and trying to bring some of those more conservative or, like, Christian values, family values in. But it cannot be at the expense of others that may not feel that way. So we'll see what happens, because I honestly don't know if it'll stick around. But just kind of going to, you know, something a little bit more more lighthearted. But obviously, this happened probably a few weeks ago, two or 3 weeks ago. But there's been this whole phenomenon with the Hawk Tua girl. You've seen the memes.
I have.
Man, there have been so many memes about this chick made, and from that original comment that she put out. And what's crazy to me now is that according to reports, you know, she's gotten some lawyers. You know, she's going to be doing some kind of documentary and reality show, and she's signed to a talent company. And she's also in partnership with this company called, I think it's called Fatter Threads, I think, to come out with merchandise, shirts and stuff like that. So some people say that, well, she must be like a industry plant, that they're trying to make her into something. But This whole phenomenon with her, what's your take on her and this whole phenomenon as a whole, for that matter?
I think To be honest, I just feel like if she can do it, anybody can. I feel like we live in a society now where anybody can go viral over anything.
Yeah.
And once you go viral, if you have the right team and the right people to help back you and support you, that could be you. And it could start just something simple on TikTok, on social media, period. And if it blow that thing up, blow it up and blow it up, before you know it, it'll spread. And it doesn't matter if it's just 16 minutes of fame. And yeah, that's what happens. And I think that what happened, that same thing with, like, with Netta, Miss Netta and Charles. Like, a lot of people don't know about Miss Netta and Charles, but you type, they really trendy on TikTok and on Instagram. If you put their name in, it's all kind of like hashtags that comes up about these people, because they get this 1 minute of fame.
Well, tell the people who they are, because I don't even know who they are.
Miss Netta and Charles. Miss Netta was a guy named Joe. He's actually a man.
What?
He's a man. And he grew up transitioning into a woman. And that's how he got Miss Netta. So he's an older guy. He might be in mid-40s, close to 50. And he's always had a rough life of coming to his skin. His skin kind of bumps up a little bit. So he spends so much money to get some makeup and traveling like a woman. So he ended up getting engaged to a guy named Charles. Now, Charles, I think he might be maybe early 30s. But he's on the slow side. And and so it's kind of like, it's stupid. Yes, I know it is. But people pay attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
And they watch it because people love drama. So they sit and watch their clips. And the funny stuff about their life, they live in a mobile home. They had a hit song come out. It says, Charles, your dinner's ready. And that's all it said. Charles, your dinner's ready. And it blew up all over social media. And so they got so naive to the point they thought they was going to go to the BET Awards. So they get dressed up, spending all this money, end up getting a manager and to help promote them. And now they're doing like these press conferences all over, like New York, Vegas, L.A., everywhere, because Miss Netta and Charles. So now it's like a little 16 minute of fame, I would say, and now stuff is starting to fall apart because he's getting tired of her, or him, or them, what do you want to call it? And so it just, so much clips, and people just actually feeds in and watch this stuff on social media.
Yeah.
Because people are bored. They don't have anything else to do. So instead of like getting dressed up and going out and spending money that they don't have, they just grab their phone and go on social media and just get lost. And they find something that's entertaining, that's going to entertain them, because they want to be numb from their own problems. So yeah, if I can just sit here and watch a story about Miss Netta in charge, or watch a debate to save me some money and stay in the house, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, this girl obviously has like gone crazy viral. And who knows what's going to end up happening with her. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. In this day and age, you can literally become famous.
Yes, quick.
You know, for good or bad.
Good or bad.
Like,
you're
super
right.
Quick. And it's like, it's insane. And obviously, I don't know her, but I feel like, you know, she seems like a nice girl. And she just happened to be making this off the cuff, you know, comment that it just became what it is. But in something like this, you know, like you said, 15 minutes of fame, she should do her best to, like, you know, ride it to the wheels fall off, make your money. Cause that's what I would do. I would make my money, do everything I can, go to all the podcasts, do all the shows, do all the merch, because like after 15 minutes, it's going to end and you're going to have to go back to your reality, regular life, yeah, or whatever.
And so that, another thing, not to cut you off, but that's what happened. That's why it really depends on your team. If you have a solid team that's going to back you up, that 15 minutes of fame can turn into something much longer. Like, you can start getting deals, endorsements, all kinds of stuff after that. Because now, not only you're viral, now you get in press shows, you get invited to shows, Some type of production company could pick you up. Tyler Perry could pick you up. Shonda Rhimes. Because now, if you can go on TikTok and you can have over multiple millions of views on TikTok, then more than likely, a lot of these writers, producers are bored. They're looking for new content. I think they're looking for new content creators to help bring something to fresh to networks.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, for example, if she does this like documentary or reality show or whatever, obviously you'll get to see more of her and her story or whatnot. But at the same time, she's got to be entertaining, or she's got to have some substance, because if it doesn't, she'll just fizzle out. But yeah, if you have a good team, you know, you can ride this out a lot longer.
It's like Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, God.
Who remember Honey Boo Boo? Like, the same thing with her and her whole family. Like, she had a good team that was backing her up. And before you know it, she was on press. She was doing interviews. She was on Wendy Williams. She was on different talk shows because people were so interested in Honey Boo Boo. Not just Honey Boo Boo herself, but just her style, her lifestyle, her siblings, her parents, and where did she come from? How did you get the name Honey Boo Boo? So I'm thinking the same thing with these people. They go viral because of, and people get interested. They want to know more about them. Like, I want to know more about, like, Risa Tisa, who married this guy that she never met. And she's iconic because she actually had almost 40 different clips on TikTok. And she had part one, part two, part three, always like part 40. And don't you know, today, I think it was Lifetime reached out to her team. And now she's in the making her own production, making some kind of a movie of some kind of a show on Lifetime because of that, you know? So that's wild.
It is wild. And, and because social media is breeding a lot of content creators, like, you know, TV and film, they're having to kind of jump into that world to cast people out or get their ideas into film and TV, just because TV is dying, basically. But yeah, that was a wild story.
It is.
But just to kind of keep it in the entertainment world, I found the top 10 Netflix shows according to Complex. Now, you don't know the list, but I have it. And, you know, I'm going to give you the top 10. I'm going to give you number 11 as a good mention. Let me know if you've seen some of these shows or what you thought about them and whether they deserve to be in this top 10 of Netflix shows. So at number 11 came Master of None. Did you ever watch that?
No.
So Master of None was this Indian guy. He's a comedian, but he's an actor in this show. He's like a single guy in New York. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically about his life as an Indian, living in New York and dating and stuff like that. But it's actually a pretty good show. And that came at number 11. And number 10 is The Queen's Gambit. Did you watch that?
No.
Do you know anything about it?
No.
It's about that chick. I forget her name, the actress. But she's like really good at playing chess, and she's like super smart, and she's a really good chess player. But at the same time, she's got some demons because she's really into alcohol and drugs as well. But anyways, that came at number 10.
I think I did see that on Netflix. I think I did.
Okay,
but I didn't watch it.
All right. Well, at number 9, we have Beef. Did you watch Beef? Now, Beef is like it's a show with these Asian characters. And I don't know much about it because I didn't watch it either. I want to watch it because I've heard good things about it. But I don't know much about it. But it came at number 9. And number 8, Ozark.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
Did you watch Ozark?
Ozark was what? Number what?
Number 8.
Ozark should be like number 4. Like, 1 has been the best and 11 been the worst, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ozark should be like number 4. Depending on what you have. But
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to go through
Ozark was that gas, bro. Yeah. Like, Ozark was good.
Ozark's good.
I'm ready for the next, This will be the third or fourth season.
They still got another one coming.
I hope so. God, I hope so. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was a great Whew. Show. It's a great show. At number, what did I say? Eight. At number seven, Mindhunter.
Mindhunter was good.
About serial killers.
Yes, it was good. Yeah. I didn't finish it because it went way in left field. But I did watch a couple of them.
I liked it too. I didn't watch season two, but right. I don't think it's better than Ozark.
No, sir.
That's why I'm I don't know about this list. And then number six, BoJack Horseman. Now, BoJack Horseman is like a one of those like adult film cartoons. Mm-hmm. I never watched that. I'm not really into adult cartoons. Anime. Like the only one that I like was Family Guy, but these other ones like this one, I wasn't into. I'm assuming you didn't watch it either. So that was number six. Number five, Narcos.
I tried. I did see it popped up on my list to watch, yeah. But I'm like,
Is it because of the Spanish and you have to read the subtitles? Yeah, is that what it is?
Got time for
well, watch it in English, dude. But Narcos is amazing.
When you switch your TV over to do that, sometimes the words be off to me.
Yeah, yeah,
and I don't like that. So if they can come out a way and fix it where everything is synced, I probably bet. I was trying to watch it, and it had good views. Like it was like number something on my list, and I think, oh, come and check this out. And then my attention span is very short, and I kept looking like I gotta watch the show, I gotta read. I'm like, no.
Yeah, Narcos is amazing.
I heard it was good.
I would probably put it top three. You know, top three for me. But the language thing, I think it'll get better with AI. AI will probably fix that.
I hope so.
But even like foreign films, like Japanese films or like European films, I'll watch them in their original language, mm-hmm. and I'll just read the subtitles because I don't like the dubbing. It just sounds weird. Yeah. So you got Narcos at number five. Number four, Squid Games.
Squid Game was good.
Yeah. Now, how did you watch that then?
Squid Game was good because, to be honest, it was during COVID, and I didn't have anything else to do.
No, I'm saying, but like you had to watch the subtitles.
I switched it over. But it was during COVID. You had to like, you know what? I don't have no choice. Like, and everybody kept saying, Q, watch Squid Games. You're going to like it. You're going to like it. And I watched it. I actually liked it, yeah.
Yeah, I like Squid Games too. I think.
And what number is that?
Four. I will probably leave it at four, maybe five. And then at number three, we have House of Cards.
House of Cards was great. It was good.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Kevin Spacey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And then number two, we got Orange is the New Black.
Orange. I actually like, this is funny, the very first season was, second season was like the bomb.com. It was like
nothing we had seen.
It was glued. Yeah. But when it got to the third, I felt like the writer was trying to stretch it a little bit. Like, now you got people getting married, you got people having babies, and you got, I mean, like, come on. Like, which it was good, but I think after the third season, okay, the orange not black no more.
Well, I guess because, I don't know. I guess they just ran out of ideas.
And I think that's probably what happened. I think they got to the point where, okay, this chick having kids, and now the kids are getting older. Yeah. You know, it's just like, okay, it's a stretch. You know, let it go. Let it be. You made your money. Let it go. So, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you. I want you to guess. Guess what number one is. We haven't.
We're not in number one already, are we?
Orange is the New Black was number two. So we only got one.
I don't
one
even
left.
Agree with that because Ozark should be in front of Orange New Black.
I agree with that.
Number one has to be, in my humble opinion, Money Heist.
Money Heist?
Bruh.
Are you talking about the Spanish one? The
one, Money Heist.
where they wear the red suits
and they yes
and the masks.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Money Heist. Now they did come out with Money Heist in Beijing.
Yeah. Again, how did you watch that? Because that's in Spanish.
Well, it lured me in because it was just a lot of excitement with like robbery, the banks, and the music. And I just watching that series, I've discovered maybe three or four different DJs, house techno. And they would just
from that show.
Yes, yes. Like, cause I would watch it. Like the music, it pulls me in. So I'm always Shazamming, and I'm like, dang, this is hot. And I actually sent it to like Danny.
I didn't realize they had house music in that show.
Well, I can understand why you would say that. But I actually sent it to Danny and Joey, and they had put it in a set.
Oh, really?
They never heard of it. Yeah. So there you go. But Money Heist, I would think, would be number one. If it's not Money Heist, oh man! Like as far as right now, Netflix, I'm afraid to hear what it is because.
Well, Money Heist is actually a good one because I agree. Money Heist is a very good show, and I will probably put it in the top three. Because I remember watching. It's so funny because I don't know how they did it, but like every show, you're like on the edge. Yeah. Like as soon as it finished, you were like, dang, I got to watch another one.
The professor was professing. He was,
oh man,
he was crisp.
Yeah.
This dude, and I think by me watching Money Heist, I've learned, it took me to this other show called Lupin.
Oh, I've heard about it.
Lupin.
He steals art. Artwork or something.
Art and jewelry, and these necklaces cost like billions of dollars.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, though, man, that's good. That's okay. Good. And but that's how I got into that. And then Queen of the South and stuff like that. But
Queen of the South is good too.
Oh, I love Queen of the South. And I'm so mad they didn't have another season. But anyway,
why I'm surprised you didn't give Narcos a shot because it's all about
cartels
and all that stuff.
I may go back and watch it at some point.
Yeah.
We'll see. What is number one? I'm afraid.
All right. So at number one, we got Stranger Things.
Okay. Stranger Things was good. The first season, it was how many seasons? Are there? Two seasons right now?
Four seasons. Four, so,
okay. First and second season.
Yeah.
And the third one was good. The fourth one I did not finish because it got a little too wild for me.
Oh, yeah?
It just started going. I don't know where it was going. It was definitely Stranger Things, put it that way. But the first season, I was glued to my seat. And I hate when I do that because I would binge watch all of them. And then I hate that because now I'm at the end and I don't have anything. And I got to wait until the new season may drop. And it might be Christmas time.
I think season 5 is supposed to drop. I want to say... Golly, I think we're supposed to be this fall, but I could be wrong. Okay.
But yeah, I like Stranger Things.
But yeah, to me, Stranger Things, would I put it at number one?
No.
Honestly, I would probably put Money Heist ahead of Stranger Things. I don't even know how they make the top 10, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know who these people is.
Yeah,
apparently they.
But in terms of Stranger Things, I remember when it first came out and everyone was talking about like, oh, yeah, this show about these four kids and like, monsters and stuff. I was like, man, I'm not watching no show with like four, like, what is it? Elementary, kids or whatever. Like, yeah, that, maybe it's for kids or something. But you know what drew me in? Two things. The fact that it was in the 80s and the music.
That's what I'm going to say.
That's what drew me in. Because when I started hearing the songs, like the soundtrack, I was like, bro, the 80s were awesome. And so that's what got me in. The music got me in. And then the storyline, I got hooked on the storyline later. But now, obviously... season 5 is supposed to come, like I said, either this year or next year. So that'll be it after that.
Yeah. And they did right, because you don't want to keep drawing it out. You know, I think a good run is like a 4 or 5 seasons tops.
Yeah.
That's it, and let it go. We don't need no 7, 8, 9, 10, because at that point, people don't lose interest. Like, they don't let it go. Like, but, yeah.
And you know what I found fascinating? Because, you know, I think it was season 3 where that song came, that song that was in the film, I mean, in the show, Running Up That Hill, and it became kind of like the song of the show, and how it just like catapulted that song to like number one, and it hadn't been number one since like 1984, whenever it came out.
Yeah.
And then the original artist that sang that song, all of a sudden she was getting all these streams and like all these like sales and stuff, and she hadn't gotten any kind of attention in like 30, almost 40 years.
Wow.
And I was just like, to me, that speaks to the power, not just of like film and movies and shows and music, but how a show like this can like resurrect someone's career that was like forgotten for the last 40 years or whatever. It was actually kind of cool. And to see that people were into a song that was 40 years ago, but kids nowadays were like jamming to it. That's actually kind
of
cool.
And the sale of lunch boxes. Because nobody thought about any more lunch boxes until you start the show. And now you see these kids with these cool lunch boxes. He thinking, no, you know, maybe I should get a lunch box, you know. That can be part of the norm. But yeah.
Remember, I think it might have been 2 years ago. I was trying to get you to go down to Atlanta because they were having like a Netflix Stranger Things experience.
Yeah.
Which obviously we didn't go. But funny enough, when my wife and I took it, when Fran and I took vacation to Paris, they actually have a store, a Netflix store, and everything inside is like set up like Stranger Things, like the, what do you call it? The living room.
Oh my lord, the living room.
Where the lights and everything are on the walls. Jesus. And, you know.
Old school Christmas light.
Yeah, they have like a bunch of stuff, like little areas that are all like depictions of the show. I never show you the pictures. I might have put some on Instagram. I don't know. But yeah, that was pretty cool. But anyway, so that's the top 10. I was a little disappointed, like that one you said, Money Heist, wasn't on here, because it definitely should have been. Anyway, so next I want to kind of introduce a little segment called Overrated, Underrated.
Correct.
And just to kind of get your take, I got 3 things that I picked. Obviously, I didn't tell you what they are because I want to get you in.
You did.
I did?
You sent it to me.
Oh, well, let's talk about it, because I didn't think I did, but yeah. I must have. All right, so number one, overrated or underrated? Fast fashion.
Fast fashion?
Yeah, like stuff you see like on Temu and like Shein, you know, fast fashion, that stuff that, you know, you can get, but it breaks down after a few days, after a few wears, and, you know, it's not like quality stuff. It's just fast fashion. You know, they just make
that it. Wouldn't be considered overrated or underrated, though.
Is it overrated or is it underrated?
That's not really good. It depends on somebody's budget. You can't say overrated or underrated, because people nowadays are trying to find ways to look good for a cheap price. Mm-hmm. So if their budget allow them to go to Amazon Prime to order, or then they do it. But if they know they can't get it because of their funds, the next step is going to be Temu or Shein or DHgate. So,
well, if you're saying that, then that means it's underrated. You're saying that it has more value than people are.
I'm not saying it's underrated or overrated, because I don't know what people's budget is. You know, like now, me and you are like my self preference.
I'm just saying in general.
General,
regardless of someone's budget or not, is it overrated as a whole or is it underrated as a whole?
again, it's hard to say because there are certain things that people have bought that I know off their websites was trash. And then there are some people bought some things off the way, and it was really nice. Yeah. I know people right now who bought like nice Hawaiian shirts off them. I'm thinking, man, that's hot. And they say, I got it from Temu. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah. So, and then I know some people got certain things. Mm-hmm. I guess what boils down to the point is that it depends on what you're trying to get. Now, if it's something like for your phone case, something like that, or something simple, then I guess it's underrated. It saves you money because what's the point going to Apple and spending $50 for a phone case mm-hmm. where I can just go on Temu and get it and save about $20, pay only $25 for it, and it lasts just as long as the one I got from Apple. Yeah. In that case, yeah. But as far as like everyday wear clothes and sneakers, that would be underrated.
Well,
I'm not going to sit here and buy some sneakers unless they're unique and different. If they're unique and different, then I can. Like I'm creative, so it doesn't really matter about the label or the style of it. But I can take it and have fun with it. Like I don't have. It don't have to be Louis Vuitton or Gucci, anything like that. I can take and have fun with it. And if I pay $25 for it, if we're going to LA or we're going to New York and I wear them, I get my little wear out of it. And if I get back home, it wants to break down. Guess what? I'm okay with that.
Well, and see, and that's my problem with it. You know, that's why I feel like fast fashion is overrated because it breaks down so easily. And, you know, you only get like maybe 2-3 wears and then, you know, sure. You know, it was only $10 and you got 3 wears out of it, I guess. You know, you got your money's worth, I suppose. Yeah. But, you know, to me, it's overrated because in the end, you know, you pay what you get what you pay for. And I don't know. I like things to, like, I like to wear things for a long time, you know, for me to last me a while. So, like, I have jeans or shirts that I've had for years, and some of them I had to get rid of just because I couldn't fit in them. But it wasn't because they weren't, you know, they were bad. At the same time, I bought some shirts that some of these, I guess you would call them like fast fashion. Man, I get them shipped, and it's not even the same material that's on the website. I'm like, what is this? You know, it is like
in that case that would be overrated. Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't even. And like, if you know me, I never send anything back. Like I'm just like, well, I guess I'll just, I don't know, donate it or something. You know. So for me, it's a bit overrated. I get it. You know, how they say, act your wage. So in other words, don't overspend. You know, act your wage. So. You know, if you got to buy from these places, great, cool, do it. I mean, it is what it is, but for me, it's kind of overrated.
I just think it's all about your creativity. Like I have went, now I'm not a big fan of going to Walmart. That's not me. I think that's overrated. And I don't care who knows. I'm not a Walmart type of guy.
But Walmart clothes may last you longer. That's the whole point.
Well, I would never know.
You know, or Target for that matter.
Now, Target. Now, I'm a Target type of guy. Like, I can go to Target and get something, and it could be unique and different. Now, I can have fun with it. You know. Yeah. So,
now if we're going to like a festival or something like that, and I just need something to wear that weekend or whatever that's gonna get dirty, whatever, and I'm not gonna care and throw it away.
Right.
I'm okay buying something from Temu or whatever. But if I want a quality
first
shirt,
first of all, that's not going to happen anyway.
Why?
Because you have to order a Temu. It's going to take about 2 weeks for you to get here, and by the time you get here, the festival going to be over.
Well, I'm gonna buy 6 months probably.
Okay, then you're talking.
Yeah, because it takes what 2 months to get here.
No, my lord.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, so next one we got overrated or underrated music festivals.
Now, you're talking to somebody who loves music. So I'm going to say.
That's what I figured.
Overrated.
You think music festivals are overrated?
No, I'm sorry. Underrated, yeah.
They're underrated. Yeah. Why are they underrated?
Because I love going. If I can go, if I can, if my budget, if I can plan out and my lifestyle will allow me to, I would love to go to music festivals every other month. If I can afford to go, like a nice one, like the Groove Cruise, Tomorrow World, or EDC Orlando, Ultra, I would love to go to all of those. But fortunately, there's no way you can do all that because it's too expensive. But I love the fact just going, if the lineup is fire, then I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But if the lineup is whack, like you paying $350 for a lineup, and out of the lineup, let's say five of them are headliners, and the rest is like, and your locals, then that will be overrated.
But overall, you think music festivals are underrated?
Oh, yes. I love music festivals. What about you?
I think they're a little overrated for me.
I can understand why you say that.
Why?
Because your music vocabulary is a little bit different. It's
no, the festivals that I've gone to, I liked. But the thing is, my thing is that I can't do it for 3 days. Man, it wears me out. Like,
that's why I say I understand why.
Friday or Saturday, okay, or maybe Saturday and Sunday. But 3 whole days, it's just too much.
We went on a group cruise one time, and it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And when we got to Miami, we stayed at the Cleveland Hotel, and we didn't have to be on the ship until the next day. So we got to Cleveland on that Wednesday.
Yeah.
And as soon as we got off to that, got out of the Uber, it was already starting. The pregame was pregaming. It was already going. I'm thinking to myself, no, we coming from South Carolina. It was cold because it was in January. So we got on hoodies. We got on like, you know where I'm going with it. We got on hats because we're cold. Then you get to this sunny place called Miami. It's like hot. And so we look crazy getting out of the Uber because you don't have time to change. So you're getting out of your Uber and you're going into the hotel to get checked in. And they all out here with bathing suits on, flip-flops, and just enjoying and living their best life. You got luggage. You got a hoodie on. You got a scarf because you've been on a plane looking all crazy and cold. Like, I didn't even have time to go in and, like, take a shower and put on fresh clothes. Like, I had to just take whatever I had off, throw on a nice jean, a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, and go out there and get in and just start going in. And it was, like, nonstop from that Wednesday. Then you had to be disciplined enough to cut that off and get into bed because next morning you had to get up and catch that shuttle over to the ship. If not, you're going to miss it. Then you won't be doing a group cruise. So we had to go out to have a good time, just have miss people we knew, had a couple of drinks with them, say, okay, we got to go. Went up to the room, got into bed, had to get up next morning by 6 a.m., catch our Uber, the shuttle from the Cleveland to the boat. Well, it was like an hour drive because of traffic, and get on that boat. And then it was, as soon as we got to the boat, it was like music. People on top of the Lido deck dancing, having a good time with their luggage.
Yeah, for those that may not know, the Groove Cruise is a 3-day or 4-day cruise.
Yes.
Of nothing but music, house music
and techno.
Techno.
All fun.
24 hours.
Yes. There were shows will start at 3 a.m. in the morning. It would go, but each show, it was organized though. So each show will last an hour and a half the most. So the only part where it was complicated was that you had one DJ would come on at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you really, really like this DJ. But you got another DJ gonna come on at 2:45. So now you gotta make a decision like how I'm gonna get from this end of the boat to that end of the boat and catch this guy's set. But you wanna hear the ending on her set. So you had to figure out how in the world I'm gonna get from here to get over there and get footage and videos.
So how did you do it?
There was a lot of missed. I missed a good bit because I got caught up in the moment, especially like you, especially artists and stuff. And then you get up in the morning, like you can't even sleep because all you hear was doom, 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 doom. Eating breakfast, like it's how you heard DJ. It was DJs on every corner of the ship. Everywhere in the ship was a DJ. That was probably the best cruise I've ever been on.
And that's the thing, like you can go on there for 4 straight days.
Yeah.
With no sleep and like catch all these DJs, all this music.
Yeah, I tried.
And you can do all that with no alcohol, no Adderall, no cocaine. Nothing. I don't know how you do that.
Because I think really it's adrenaline flow.
Yeah.
And I think when you get around the right people and the vibes and good energies, it attracts good energy. So
yeah,
if you're feeling good, you know, you got 3 days to party, to give it up, doing you, and then my vibe is going to connect with your vibe. So I'm going to feed off of you. And then before you know it, we're going to attract other people just like us, and we just start to learn each other. And then before you know it, we feed off each other's energy. So if you get tired and exhausted, I got you. When we come around each other, of course we're going to take some shots, anything like that, but we'll just keep going.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, I got one more.
Okay.
Underrated, overrated. Staycations.
Overrated.
They're overrated?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's no place like home.
No, if you're saying it's overrated, that means that, you know, it's not all what it's hyped up to be.
Right.
So you would say it's underrated then? Because you're saying it doesn't get as much hype as it should.
Okay, you're right. It's underrated then. I'll say underrated.
Okay, so you think it's underrated.
Right.
All right. And why?
Because there's no place like home.
Okay.
Like, it's okay to go somewhere for a couple of days, but I'm ready to come back home.
So, if you had, like, kind of like now, 2 weeks off from work or whatever, staying home, chilling, you know, not necessarily going anywhere, to you, that's cool.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like I used to want to go all the time, which I don't mind, and I still can. But now, as I've gotten older, and I got more responsibility, and like I got a property, you know, I want to invest my property in this fine time being at home, because, you know, you paying for this nice Netflix, you paying for this premium AC air in your house, you know, you putting the gas in your car, you got a garage door that goes up and go down, it's nothing broke, nothing missing, so you kind of want to enjoy the fact of being at home, like
the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, the fruits of the labor. Like, you want to just relax in your own crib. Save some money. Don't have to worry about dressing up. Be comfortable, you know, and just enjoy yourself. Now, there are some times where I say, you know what, I want to go somewhere. That's all fun and games too. But now things are so different, where you got to be careful. You know, you just got to take that in consideration. Like, you know, you don't know what you're going into. You know, but at least I know when I'm at home, I can just shower, sit back, watch the top five of Netflix. and I'm good. Like, I'm good, you know. I'm happy, I'm excited, and I just feel good. Now, is that always the case? No. Like, there are some times I want to just pack a bag and go for a couple of days, but I'm always looking forward to coming back home.
Well, for me, staycations are definitely underrated. Definitely underrated, because, yes, like you said, it's always nice to, you know, to go on a trip, you know, vacation, you know, overseas or whatever, to the beach or whatnot. But there's something about, like, you know, just being at home.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, when you're at home, you can, and you're home for like a week or whatever, you can get a lot done that you weren't able to do from just being at work and this and that and whatever. So I feel like staycations really kind of help you catch up on, you know, yard work or like stuff in the garage or like, you know, just random things that you hadn't really had time to invest in or like do that you need to do. And that's it. Because the other thing is, like, whenever you go, let's say you go take a trip to the beach or the mountains or whatever, you're gone, let's say those 4 or 5 days, and you're like, go while you're on vacation. And then you come back, is right back to the rat race, and you get no time to catch up, no time to like do anything. And so staycations for me, and kind of like you, I guess, you know, now that we get kind of a little bit older, is just like, all right, well, let me just chill, do this in the morning, do this in the evening, and just and let it just be. Not to mention, a lot of times, even just staying here in the area, there's stuff that you could do that, you know, you don't really think about doing locally, and staycations sometimes allow you to do that. So it's cool.
Like, honestly, what brings me joy is like getting up in the morning, fixing some breakfast, something simple, ain't gotta be nothing real crazy, and just sitting at the table, eating it, opening the blinds, and just watching the sun come up, or just watching like kids play outside, and then taking a shower, put on me some clothes, turn the car on, leave, go somewhere, go to the market, go to the mall, get my car cleaned up. I love getting my car cleaned up, and just come back home and chill out, you know? You know, on a Tuesday, that's cool for me. Like,
yeah,
I don't have to have off every Friday and Saturday or Sunday. Like, if I'm off on Monday and Tuesday, man, that is like the bum.com, because now I'm fresh. I'm relaxing from the weekend. If it was busy, I got that Monday just to sit back and relax, you know, rejuvenate my mind and just chill out, get ready for the work week on Tuesday and Wednesday, get myself together, and just have a great day at work. Now, there are times where I run crazy during the week, and then when Friday come, I'm getting even more tired because I'm drained, because I know I got this party coming up. I got, like, for instance, like tomorrow, there's a birthday party tomorrow. There's two parties going on tomorrow that I want to go to tomorrow, you know. And then Saturday is just a day I'm going to hang out with the family. Sunday is church. And then
that's it.
I'm tired of sitting here just thinking about it. They even got here yet. So, but just staying home, chilling on the couch.
Okay.
Some goodies and snacks.
Well, I think we can both agree that is definitely underrated.
Yeah.
Well, bro, man, we're about an hour and six, and I think all the topics that I got for today. So hopefully we'll be back next week. Thanks everybody that's been listening and checking us out on the socials. We'd love to hear from you guys if want to shoot us a message or whatnot. But Mr.
Like
Q,
like and share.
Absolutely. Mr. Q, you have anything else for the people?
Absolutely not. Everybody have a great weekend and be safe. Until next time.
All right, guys. Peace out.